Thanks for coming back to God Is. We're learning that God is our rest, and we started in Matthew chapter 11, an episode in the life and teaching of Jesus that taught us that first and foremost, and of greatest importance, God provides to us spiritual rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I hope that you have come, or will soon, and very soon, be coming to Jesus. Today I want to pick up again in the life of Jesus, as we are doing this summer, and see what else we can learn about the rest that he provides to us. Come with me, if you would, in your Bible, over to Mark's Gospel in chapter 6. Today we go from Matthew 11 to Mark 6. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. What we're going to do is work our way systematically down through this chapter. We'll skip two large sections, one of which we recently read during our God is Merciful series last month. But I'll guide us all along the way, so have your Bible open if possible, and you'll easily be able to follow along. I hope this sounds good to you. This is Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. This sentence sets the scene and tells us something about the people and the place. Who are the people we're going to read about? It's Jesus and his disciples. These are the 12 men that Jesus has supernaturally chosen to follow him. Their names are Simon, who came to be known as Peter, Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot. There are two Simons in this group of 12, Simon Peter and Simon the Zealot, and then Judas Iscariot. So it is these 12 plus Jesus. And where are they? The text says Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown. And many of you know that his hometown is Nazareth. Nazareth. Back in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 22 to 23, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, is told by an angel in a dream to take his family and go to the region of Galilee to a city called Nazareth. In obedience, Joseph does what God requires of him. And so Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and now, these many years later, Jesus returns there with his 12 disciples in Mark chapter 6. Jesus and his disciples are in Nazareth, and Nazareth is in the region called Galilee. Galilee is in the northern part of Israel and includes places such as the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Cana. And we'll read about some of these later on in our story. Now, in verses 2 through 5 of Mark 6, the text tells us that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and he also laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. But Jesus could not do very much because the Jewish people in Nazareth took offense to him, says verse 3. How troubling this must have been for Jesus. We will see in a minute that it was. It is his hometown. The people claim to know him. Listen to verse 3. This is Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? In other words, isn't this the boy we know? He's just one of us. He's the boy down the street. And now he claims to be God. And Jesus acknowledges their rejection of him in verse 6. This is Mark 6 and verse 6. And he wondered at their unbelief. Of all the regions that should have had faith to believe in Christ, it was Galilee. By now, he's performed many miracles in the region, and Nazareth was, after all, his hometown. They knew him. Yet, even claiming to know him, they could not see. They refused to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah of the Jewish people. They flat out rejected him, and Jesus is amazed they could do that. He is not accepted by his own people in his hometown. He is rejected by them. Now, I want to pause here and give you an insight that I'm going to ask you to remember as we move along this week. I highly recommend you make a note of this in your Bible or on a piece of paper or in your phone. Are you ready to write or type a little note? Let me give you a moment to get that ready by giving some advice to folks driving right now and or otherwise occupied. Make a mental note or download the podcast of this broadcast and listen again later or shout the following into that audio recording app that you might have on your phone. All right, ready? Rejection creates tiredness. Rejection creates tiredness. Later in Mark 6, we will see that Jesus himself had to take time to rest. He got tired. And of course he did. Jesus was fully human, and human beings get tired. Well, what specifically makes Jesus tired? I think the rejection by the people in his hometown wore him out a little bit. He loved them. He really did. And he wanted them to accept his deity. Jesus desired to deliver and to rescue these Nazarenes from their sin. I mean, this is home. One of the things that I have learned by living for the last 20 years overseas in Asia is that I will always have a special place, a unique love in my heart for the Boston area. Why? Because that's home. Frankly, that's part of the reason I'm here with you on WROL and WEZE every day. I love you. I desperately want the people of New England to know who God is. I want you all to hear Jesus say, "Come to me." And I want you to receive his love and mercy and forgiveness for your sins as you say, "Yes, Jesus, I will come to you. I am coming." It is deeply troubling to me that the people of my hometown, my home city, and my home state would reject Jesus. This is why I pray daily for the spiritual revival of New England, and I know several of you do too. But if we get discouraged with the lack of spiritual fruit in our hometowns, as it were, then how much more would Jesus, who is God and who personally brought the love of God to Nazareth? How would he feel when they booted him out, refusing to believe in him? I submit to you this so troubled our Lord that it was one thing that made him tired. But I am asking you to remember this because later on in the week I'll come back to what contributed to Jesus' need for rest, and this will be one of them. I'll remind you of this in the next couple of days. Rejection creates tiredness. Back to Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. Having been rejected in Nazareth, Jesus, says verse 6, was going around the villages teaching. There goes Jesus, on the move with his disciples, teaching from village to village and in all the region called Galilee. And in verse 7, the text says, Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs. This is a key point in the life of Jesus' 12 disciples. It's a time of transition. The master teacher Jesus is going to send out his students to get some practical experience in ministry. That is, he gives them specific instructions and then they will leave him and go off together to do what Jesus commands them to do. I find this text of scripture to be fascinating on so many levels. There are multiple ways that I could teach this or preach this if it were a sermon, but I want to stay focused on God is our rest. And so let me just highlight for you some of the instructions Jesus gives to show you specifically how, in these instructions, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to protect against weariness in ministry. Of course, as soon as I say ministry, some of you will want to tune me out because you do not think of yourself as in ministry. You think your pastor is in ministry, or the missionary you support is in ministry, or radio preachers are in the ministry. But you are in business, or you are in the nonprofit sector, or you are in the home, or you are in retirement. But I want to encourage you to avoid professionalizing the ministry. What Jesus says here applies to every single one of his disciples today. This applies to everyone listening to me who is a Christian. If you follow Christ, Jesus is talking to you. Yes, these words will include pastors, missionaries, and me, but they are not limited to us. We're all in this together, following our Lord. And here is what he tells us to do when we go out into our communities to share the good news of the gospel with others. If you're listening and you're not yet a Jesus follower, come along and be one. As you contemplate Christ, listen to what Jesus tells us about going out to speak with people like you. Mark 6 and verse 7 says Jesus sent the 12 out in pairs. Pairs means in twos. Let's do a little math here. 12 divided by 2 is 6. So there will be 6 teams. There are 2 disciples on each team. Now, why send them out in twos? There are 2 main reasons. First, one can be a witness of the other. I'll tell you now that Jesus is going to want a report on how they do. He will be asking for feedback. And when one team member says, "This is what happened," the other can affirm it. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. On the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. Jesus brought valuable Old Testament instruction to bear on this situation. That's the first reason. And the second relates to protecting against getting weary. When 2 go together, they can encourage and strengthen one another. When one gets discouraged, the other one can bring encouragement. When the other one gets down, the second disciple can lift him up. Together is better. 2 is much better than 1. And I am out of time for today, so I'll tell you what we will do. When you come back tomorrow, I will pick up right here as Jesus sends the disciple out in pairs, and I will give you a couple of real practical examples of how we should do ministry today in pairs, 2 by 2, as well. Remember, I'm relating this to protecting against tiredness, so I hope that you will take some time out of your July 4th celebration to be with me as usual. I will be here at 8:15 on WROL and at 4:30 p.m. on WEZE. I recognize tomorrow's a holiday, but we take no breaks in getting to know who God is.